So we enter into this last Sunday of the month of November. It is the first Sunday of the Advent season. The word Advent means coming. As they look at the coming of Christ, as we look back to him coming into the world, and as we look forward to his second coming, it is the Advent. It is important that we as the church focus our attention on Jesus as we enter into this Christmas season. Over the next 28 days, you and I will be inundated, flooded with all of the makings of the Christmas holiday season. You will hear music that sings about Christmas. You will see homes and buildings that are decorated with lights that display Christmas. You will see commercials on your television that invite you to come and partake and celebrate Christmas. Everywhere you and I look and turn, we will be celebrating Christmas. And it is important that you and I, believers in Jesus Christ, keep at front and center the true reason for the season, and that is Jesus. If there are four things that the church needs to talk about on a regular basis, the church needs to communicate on a regular basis, it's these four things. The incarnation, that is the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. The crucifixion, that is his death on a cross. The resurrection, meaning that the tomb or the grave could not hold him because he's never lost a battle. And the second coming, because he will come again. The one thing that you and I should never get tired of talking about and telling others about it are those four things. That everything else that we talk about, let's be honest, becomes secondary, because it's all about Jesus Christ and what God has done to save the world. And so we ought to talk about the incarnation. When Christmas is around, what are we talking about? The fact that Jesus came. Amen. Oh, yes, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to give gifts. Yes, I am. I'm going to eat. Yes, I am. If you invite me over for dinner, I will come. Yes, I will. If you bring me something to eat, I'll take it home and eat it. Yes, I will. I'm going to participate in all of the trappings. I'm going to put lights that light up the house, and I'm going to enjoy all of the decorations. I'm going to listen to the music. But more than all of that, I'm going to talk about the fact that Jesus came at Christmas. Amen. And so on today, as we focus on the first thought of the Advent season, I want to talk about hope. And because of Emmanuel, I have hope. Because of Emmanuel, amen, you have hope. And I want to turn to Matthew chapter 1. It is the story of Joseph, because it leads us into one of the truths that you and I need to hang on to. In Matthew chapter 1, and I want to read from verse 18 through verse number 23, because it provides for us the context of the setting. Speaks to the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm reading from the New International Version, and it reads this way. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Praise be to God that he provided for us the definition of the name or the word Emmanuel. It means God with us. And so when I say because of Emmanuel, I have hope. I'm saying because God is with us, because God is with me, we can have hope. Amen. Because the God that we're talking about is the one that we just sang about, who has never, ever lost a battle, and he never will. Because he never will, that means that you and I can have hope. This particular part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of Joseph, tells about what was going on in Joseph's life and the young lady that he was engaged to be married to, Mary, what was going on in their lives at this time when God interrupts their plans. You're familiar with the story, but I don't mind telling it again, because what had happened was Joseph was engaged to be married to Mary, but Mary got pregnant. But Mary got pregnant because God overshadowed her with his Holy Spirit. He chose her because the time had come for the promise of God to enter into the world. I love the Christmas season because it always reminds me, Christmas reminds me, it is that a promise kept. That God is a promise keeper. God said he would send, and God sent. Christmas is the reminder that it doesn't matter how much time goes by, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen? Doesn't matter what the circumstances, what the situation, what the conditions are, God is still able to do the impossible. And whenever you and I come to Christmas, we are reminded that God is able to do the impossible. I love the way the calendar has been set such that it falls at the end of the year, because after you and I have had struggle after struggle for 12 long months, we are reminded that no matter how difficult your year has been, God is still able to come through. And when Christmas comes at the last week of the year, you and I are reminded that no matter how hard it's been, I know that I can still have hope because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. When you removed all the paper from the wrappings and all of that stuff, what you're left with most importantly is the truth that Jesus really is the true reason for the season. And I love that Christmas comes with that reminder that it is a promise kept, a promise by God that he kept, a promise that God is faithful. And can I just tell you, if God has given you a word and you're waiting on him to fulfill that word in your life, that if God gave you the word, can I just tell you that God will fulfill that word? It does not matter what the circumstances look like. If God said it, God will do it. It doesn't matter how it looks at the moment. It doesn't matter what's standing up against you. If God said it, nothing can stop God from doing it. So when God makes a promise, he's not a man that he should lie. When God makes a promise, God keeps his promise. At the appointed time for God to keep his promise, he sent his angel to see Mary. Mary said, I'm your servant. You are free to do to me whatever you want to do. And she allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon her, and she became pregnant with the Son of God. When Joseph discovered what had taken place with his bride, that she was pregnant, it was too much for him in his mind to even fathom this idea that the Spirit of God could come up on her and she can become pregnant. And so when he heard it, he said, that's an interesting story, but it's a little bit too much for me. Mary has no more argument to offer, only the truth. And can I just tell you, when you stand on the truth of God, he does the rest. Amen. That's all he wants you and me to do, is just stand on his truth and he'll do the rest. Joseph went home and he laid down to take a nap. And God, of course, went to work, for he sent an angel to disturb Joseph's sleep. And while he was sleeping, the angel began to talk to him. You read the words. It said, Joseph, son of David. This is a dream now. He's having a dream. Amen. He's asleep. His eyes are closed. You know that's what a dream is, right? Amen. So it's like God can come and talk however he wants to talk, when he wants to talk, right? Amen. That don't put God in a box. Will you let God be God? When he wants to send a message to you, will you let him send it the way he wants to send it, when he wants to send it, and then be willing to receive what he has said and move forward in it? Joseph lays down. He's just trying to go to sleep. I can imagine. He's disturbed. He's troubled. You know, Some things you just want to sleep off. Maybe this was a nightmare. Maybe after I sleep this thing off and wake up, it'll be better. But no, the angel comes and he appears to him and he says, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The angel is confirming what Mary told him. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then it says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And the prophet is Isaiah. We'll go there in just a moment, who said, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We didn't read verses 24 and 25, but it's important that you check them out, because it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary as his wife. So he is sleeping. He has a dream. The angel of the Lord speaks to him. He gives him words of affirmation that affirm what Mary has said, that the Spirit of the living God has come upon her, and that's why she is pregnant. And then he takes from the Old Testament and says that, gives him that expression that this child, this virgin, is going to give birth to a child. So he gets up and he is obedient, even though it is an interruption to what they had planned, to what he had planned. He was willing to allow God to rearrange his life, rearrange his agenda, rearrange everything, so that he was able to walk in God's plan. And so Joseph gets up. He takes Mary as his wife, and they continue in their relationship. It is in Isaiah chapter 7 that we discover this prophecy, this truth that was spoken that God is now fulfilling. God is a promise keeper. Christmas is a promise kept by God, who at the appointed time sent exactly what he said he would send. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the words are almost verbatim. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." These were words spoken to the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years before they were recorded in Matthew. A testament to the fact that God watches over his word to perform it. That whatever God speaks, because he sees the future, it will come to pass. You know, you don't talk about hope unless you got a situation that you need hope for. Amen. Folk that already got it together, that already got everything that they need, don't talk about hope. It is people who are perhaps in the midst of a bad situation. It is those who are perhaps waiting for something to come to improve their situation. It is those who acknowledge that I don't have everything that I need, or I don't have everything that I want, so I use language like hope. It is the Bible that also frames hope in that same sense. It says, they who wait upon the Lord, they who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Wait a minute. You're going to renew your strength. That means that right now you're weak. And so you're hoping, you're waiting on the Lord so that you can renew your strength. You got a situation that needs to be addressed. And so you're saying, I will hope in the Lord. Hope is not a word that is used by folk who have already arrived. Hope is not a word that is used by folks who already received everything that they feel like they should have. Hope is a word that is used with some expectancy. I'm looking for better. Hope is a word that says that I know that this situation won't last always, that I know and I hope it's going to get better. Hope is that word that takes you and moves you from your present moment and propels you to your future, which looks better than where you are. Hope is that word that takes you and moves you to the place of where you believe that God has planned something else for you that is better than what your current conditions are. Christmas represents Jesus Christ entering into a space where folk needed hope. It represents a time where things were dark and they were gloomy. In fact, theologians will tell you, if you go between Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and look at that period of time, they often refer to those as the silent years, because there is little recorded about the movement of God during those years of where Malachi ends and Matthew begins to speak. But we know that God was not silent during those times, because he was getting everything in order for the coming of the promised Messiah. And in the middle of your moments, in the middle of your situations, in the middle of your difficult times, even when it seems like God is silent, can I tell you that God is still working on your behalf? You may not be able to see what he's doing. You may not be able to hear what he's saying, but because God is God, you can trust that he is working things out for you. What is it? Romans 8 and 28. You're familiar with that. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who have been called according to his purposes. I want to put emphasis on the word all. It talks about all things, the good stuff and the bad stuff. God works it together for your good and for your benefit, that even when you and I cannot see how he is going to make it happen, God is mixing up the stew. Can I tell you, God knows how to make some good stew. Amen. When this particular prophecy is given, it is received at a difficult time in Israel's history. The prophet is Isaiah. And Isaiah has been sent to see a king by the name of Ahaz, because Ahaz has been threatened by two other rulers. Their threat is to come against Ahaz, and their plan is to end his reign. I want to encourage you to go back and read chapter 7 and with that backdrop in mind of what's said in verse 14. I want you to read chapter 7 from verse number 1 at least through verse number 14 so you can see what's being said when this prophecy comes. For Ahaz and all the people, when they receive word that something bad is coming against them, they get nervous and they get afraid and they lose hope. The prophet Isaiah goes to them. In fact, you'll discover in verse number 2, it says that their hearts were shaken. The people were shaken and it was like trees of the forest. This is how scared they were. Okay, you've seen those cartoons, right? When somebody gets scared. And I can't do it, but you've seen it. When they so scared, their knees start knocking together and they do that little sound thing where you could hear their knees and they show you the vibration of that's how scared they were. That when they had the threat of these people, they became so scared that they were shaken. God sent Isaiah to say to Ahaz, in verse number 4, he says, say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. So he says, they've come against you, but be careful, keep calm. In fact, would you do me a favor? Would you go ahead and whether you use the Bible app or you have a real Bible, would you turn to verse number 4 in chapter 7 and will you just do me a favor and just either highlight it, underline it, or however it is that you mark up your Bible, because this word is coming against the backdrop of a threat that has come against the well-being of these people. And God is sending his prophet to say to them these words, that in the midst of this threat, in the midst of this thing that's got you shaken, that's got you scared, in the midst of it, he's sending a word to them that says that you need to be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, do not lose heart. Which means that sometimes some stuff is going to come your way and you have to say to your soul, be careful, keep calm, do not be afraid, don't lose heart. Now, sometimes your soul can be stubborn, so you've got to say it more than once. Amen. And sometimes your soul will forget, so you've got to remind your soul, be calm, be careful, do not be afraid, don't lose heart. Amen. This is the backdrop of which this prophecy is coming. It is not like everything was in order. Everything was messy. And God is saying to his people, I see you. I see where you are. I see what you're going through. And listen, you don't need to worry about this fierce army that's coming up against you because I'm with you. And when God is with you, he is more than the whole world against you. That song you were singing early said you needed to open up your mouth. You needed to shout. You need to proclaim. You need to speak sometimes. When God is with you, you need to know that you can have hope because he is more than the whole world against you. 1 John 4:4 reminds us that the one who lives on the inside of us is greater than the one in this world. That no matter what attacks are coming against you, you need to know that when God is with you, you still will win. Amen. And therefore, if God is with you, you will always have hope. God tells Isaiah to go to this man, to the king, and give him these words and to let him know that, don't worry, I am with you. He says, I know what they are threatening against you, but don't worry, it won't happen. He says, it will not take place, it will not happen, for the head of Aram is Damascus. The head of Damascus is only resin. And within 65 years, Ephraim too will be shattered. And so, you don't need to worry about these people. He says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And so God is saying to this king that, listen, in the middle of all of this, you need to stand firm in your faith and believe what I have declared. If I am with you, you will win. Isaiah takes this message back to the king. And then he says, what sign do you want the Lord to give you? The king says to Isaiah, I'm not going to ask the Lord for a sign. Unlike some of us, you know, we be wanting a sign, right? Amen. Lord, how I know, God, how I know that what you said is going to come to pass. Show me something. Please, Lord, let the sky open up for a few minutes and close back up. Okay, let this parking spot, you right up there by the front, let the parking spot, let it be free. Let it be open. Okay, let all the lights be green when I go. But he said, no. I will not ask for a sign. I will not put the Lord to the test. And then God says, fine. I will give you a sign to let you know that what I have declared will come to pass. And so he offers this sign, this promise. God does this to say that you can be sure that what I have said will come to pass. And I love that when God offers up a sign, that he doesn't do something simple and easy. An open parking spot. Somebody, my timing was just good, right? Somebody was just getting ready to leave and I pulled up. Don't confuse that with God's, the green lights. Come on, y'all. You need God to do something that can't be done. So God says, I'm going to give you a sign so that you will know that is me and you won't confuse it with the food you ate last night. I'm going to give you a sign so that you can know that it is me, so that it won't be confused with somebody else just being kind and being nice. I'm going to give you a sign that identifies that this is my hand at work. And so he says the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, when you go to chapter 8, what you're going to discover is that Isaiah had a wife. And he says that when Isaiah says, when I went home and went to the prophetess, she became pregnant. And then It is believed that at her pregnancy, this particular prophecy was fulfilled at that moment. But it was also believed that this was a foreshadowing of what was to come. That what was done here, God was using it to speak of what was to come. Now, that is affirmed by the use of Matthew. Matthew says what happened with Mary and Joseph was done so that this prophecy could be fulfilled. It happened immediately with Isaiah, because when Isaiah and his virgin wife became pregnant, it was a sign to King Ahaz that the word that I brought to you was true from the Lord. But then we fast forward all of these years later, and Mary, who was a virgin and allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon her, she becomes pregnant. And God says, the Bible says, that that was done to fulfill God's word, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. It was the fulfillment of a promise. And it was the fulfillment of a promise that comes in a dark, dark situation. It was the fulfillment of a promise that comes when all hope should be lost. It was the fulfillment of a promise that comes in the middle of despair. And it was a word for you and me today that reminds us that even when your back is against the wall, that if God is with you, you have hope. Amen. Even when the doctors don't know what to do, when God is with you, you have hope. It is when it seems as though the ends won't come together. The provision just ain't there. How am I going to meet the needs that's in front of me? Can I say to you, when God is with you, you have hope. Why, doesn't the Bible say, and my God shall supply all of your needs? How? According to his riches in Christ Jesus. See, the reason Christmas is a promise kept, it reminds us that no matter how many promises God has made, all of them are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It is the reminder that in the middle of darkness, when despair has overcome you, that the light of hope walks into your space. It is in the midst of dark and gloomy times that he shines in the dimness of your despair and gives you hope, reminding you and me that we are never alone and that he knows the way by which he is leading us, and that he always, always, always provides a way out. God reminds us that if he is with us, we have hope. That means that don't you dare let your heart be overcome by despair. Amen. Amen. Some folks say that the holiday season gets pretty tough, especially those who are dealing with loss. It does. It gets hard because you are dealing with the fact that you have family that is no longer with you. And all of a sudden, it floods you back and it hits you hard and it weighs on you so heavy. But can I just say to you, in the middle of it all, don't let despair arrest you and take you captive. Can I encourage you that in the middle of whatever it is that you are going to, that you look to the one who will shine his light upon you and lead you out of the valley of despair and remind you that you still have hope. See, when God is with you, God will show you his way. God will strengthen you. God will keep you. God will supply for you. God will make sure that you have all that you need. And on this first Sunday of Advent, all we're being reminded is that because Emmanuel, God is with us, we have hope in every situation, in every circumstance, no matter how difficult. He says, don't you dare give up, because he has never, ever lost a battle. And he knows you, he sees you, and he has come to rescue you and to deliver you. Romans chapter 5, a very familiar passage of scripture, says this: you and I have hope because he has poured his love into our hearts. Let me read it for you. And it says, hope does not disappoint us. I think I need to read to you the verse prior to that, because it's the context that gets it. It says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Wait, that don't make sense, does it? Rejoice in your sufferings? Yes. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So he says, even in your suffering, rejoice. Why? Because it is working on your behalf and leading you to a place of hope. And he says, and when you get to hope, you won't be disappointed. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. And it's one of my favorites, because it captures in it almost all of the essence of what we celebrate with Advent. See, the Advent talks about the coming of Christ. Not only does it look back at the coming of the Messiah, but it looks forward to his second coming. And it captures those ideas of hope, faith, joy, and peace. In Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, it says these words: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may what? Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. In order for you to be filled, you've got to trust in him. In order for you to get this thing that you need, you've got to keep your hope and your trust in him. He says, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you again that Christmas is the reminder. The coming of Christ is the reminder that you and I can have hope because God is with us. Emmanuel is with us. And he says, whatever you do, don't lose heart. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare throw in the towel, because he allowed the image of the invisible God to come down from heaven, to be clothed in human flesh, so that he might give you and me hope. Amen. Psalm 130 in verse 7 says this: people of God, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him full redemption. He himself will redeem you from all your sins. Wait a minute. Did you hear that? Put your hope in the Lord, for with him is unfailing love. His love does not fail, and with him is full redemption. That means that when God comes to your rescue, when God delivers you, there is no more debt left to be paid. There is no residual interest charge. There is nothing else. It is paid in full. And what he does is he comes and he restores you, he rescues you, he redeems you, and he puts you in the place that he wants you to be. And all I want to do is remind you today is that no matter what circumstance you're looking at, no matter what situation has beset you, that you can have hope because Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God is with you. And if you keep that at the forefront of your heart and of your mind, there is no situation that will beset you. There is nothing that can come against you, that can overtake you, because you will say to your situation, God is with me. Therefore, great mountain, you must bow down. Amen. And it doesn't matter what the great mountain, what name the great mountain goes by, that because God is with you and because you are leaning on the name of Jesus, the one who saves, whatever the great mountain is that you name, it must bow down at the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And because you know that it must bow down, when you declare the name of Jesus over your situation, when you declare the name of Jesus over your circumstance, when you allow the name of Jesus to be exalted, all of a sudden you have spoken to your heart and said, be careful. Be calm. Do not be afraid. This victory is yours because the battle belongs to who? The Lord. Amen. Praise God. Father, we are here in front of you. And we are thankful for the declaration of your word that reminds us to put our hope in you. We need not worry, that we need not to concern ourselves, but we need to put our hope in you. That we don't need to concern ourselves with matters that are too great or things that are too wonderful for us, but we need to put our hope in you. That we need to be still and be quiet before you. We need to quiet our souls so that we can put our hope in you. You say that those who put their hope in you will not be put to shame. Those who put their hope in you proclaim your coming. Therefore, we put our hope in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer that you sent to save us from our sins, the one that you sent who would pay for them by his death, and then who would be raised from the dead so that he could be seated at your right hand with all power and authority given unto him. We put our hope in you, knowing that you see us. You know our past, you know our present, and you know our future. We're thankful and we put our hope in you because we understand that there is nothing that catches you by surprise. Therefore, everything that comes up against us must bow at the wonderful name, the majestic name of Jesus. So as we gather here, will you allow your spirit to search our hearts and our minds? If there is a thing that is getting in the way of us putting our hope in you, help us to lay it at the altar so that we can experience the fullness of your deliverance, that your power can be manifest in our lives and in our circumstances for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name.